Good morning, Covenant Church. I'm glad you're here. I thought this would be empty today. Everybody is in Camp Kakwa, but okay. For weeks, not to say for months, I think I should speak about this passage that I've chosen for today. And by what happened in the meantime, I'm pretty sure, yes, we have to talk about this topic. I want to talk to you about a paragraph in John chapter 7, the Gospel of John chapter 7, and from verse 14. Do we have that? Okay. John 7, from verse 14. Not until halfway through that festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews there were amazed and asked, "How did this man get such learning without having been taught?" Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me?" All we know about Jesus' education is that he probably had a basic school education. Why? Because every Jewish boy at that time had to go to the synagogue and learn to read and to write and probably also some math. The Greeks at that time were big in mathematics, so I assume Jesus learned also some basic math. But how come that Jesus could preach, that he could teach the way he did? We read here in John 7, people were amazed how he was preaching. In Luke chapter 20, we studied that recently at our men's group. They come and ask, "Hey, in which authority are you doing this?" They knew Jesus never was a student of any other rabbi. They knew he just had basic education and he was growing up in a carpenter's family, so he was expected to take over certain responsibilities in the family and to work, so he didn't have time to study all that. Where did it come from? Where did Jesus get the wisdom and the insight in the Word of God from? So Jesus gives the answer. Verse 16 and 17, Jesus says, "Hey, the authority or the wisdom or the knowledge comes from the one who sent me. My message is not my own. It's not based on my own philosophy or theology. It comes from the one who sent me, and that is the Father." What was the preaching of the Pharisees, of the teachers in the law, of the leaders of the Jewish community? What was their teaching based on? It was based on what we call the Old Testament now. History of Israel, prophets, prophetic words, and the laws. Where did Jesus preach on? Exactly the same. History, prophetic words, law. By the way, Jesus taught a lot about the law. The New Testament, how to say, animosity towards the law is more to be found by Paul. The Apostle Paul is writing a lot against the law, if you want to say it that way, but Jesus was always saying, oh, the law is good. But why was he preaching different than the Pharisees? Because Jesus put the emphasis a different way. When for the Pharisees it was clear, you have to keep the law, you have to do it the best way possible, and we find every single little detail, how to do what, that's what you have to do. And Jesus, when he was asked about the law, he said, no, that's not the idea of the law. The essence of the law is love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. A totally different emphasis given. So let me say this here. You can take any Bible verse, you can take any paragraph out of the Old or even out of the New Testament and can talk at the end just your own theology, your own philosophy. Unfortunately, that is possible. If we do not ask for what's important in the eyes of God, we may end up there where the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teacher of the Old Testament law, where they ended up at Jesus' time. They were preaching their own philosophy, their own theology, not what was important in the eyes of God. I want to come back later to this question of the emphasis. I want to make you just think like 4 or 5 years back. Difficult time, COVID, and what did we get in messages? There were a lot of messages on TV, radio, especially on the internet, and probably in a number of churches. What did they tell us? They told us end time theories. Universal world government. I heard somebody preaching at that time, this is what leads us to a universal world government, and boom, boom, boom. There were people who preached about the Word of God in that time and came to the conclusion that Bill Gates is behind all that. There were sermons held about the pro and the contra of the vaccination against COVID. For me, that's a medical question, and everybody of you had and have to decide what to do or not to do, but that's not something that is related for me, to my actual daily faith. Catastrophic scenarios were preached, conspiracy theories, and all that in the name of Christianity. Now, how could we find out what's good and what's not good? That's where this verse 17 here comes in, where Jesus gives us a mighty tool. Jesus says, whosoever wants to do the will of God, he will find out. And I say it with my words, what's important in the eyes of God. If you want to do the will of God, you are able to discern what's good, what's important, what comes from the Father, or what is personal human theology or philosophy. You don't have to go to a pastor. You don't have to know how to read the Bible in its original languages. You don't need that. What you need is be willing to do the will of God. Then you will find out. It happened to me in those years of COVID, when that was so highly done. It happened to me so often that people gave me a phone call or an email or whatever. Wilfred, you have to read this. And what do you think of that? And can you agree to this? No, you don't need anybody else to find out what's good and what's important in the eyes of God. If you want to do the will of God, you can find out. It's a mighty tool. Now, that doesn't only apply to TV pastors or radio pastors or officially pastors of our church. And now, don't get me wrong, I'm not preaching this just because Pastor John and Brent aren't here. I include myself. If you are willing to do the will of God, you will find out if that what is taught from here, if that what is preached from here is important in the eyes of God. And I include myself. So test me on that. Are we preaching our own theology, our own philosophy? You can find, just by yourself, if a message you read, you hear, or you find on the internet is important to God, if you are willing to do God's will. Now, you don't have to be perfect with this. I'm so glad that Jesus said it the way he did it. He didn't say, if you are perfectly doing the will of God, then you can do that. No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say you have to be successful in fighting this and that. No. All that's necessary is that you want, that you are willing to do the will of God, that you are willing to do what's important in God's eyes. You don't have to be perfect, you just have to be honest. Find out what's important in the eyes of God and do this again and again, because we are living in a time. No, I shouldn't say that we are living in a special time. Every time is special. One of the characteristics of the time we are living in is that it was never so easy to bring fake news, to spread them. It was never so easy to tell the people whatever you want to tell them, and they have a hard time to find out if that's true or not. I assume it happens to you as well as to me. I get at least a handful of messages every week, either on as a text on my cell phone or as a message on the internet, on my
email.
on my email. Sorry, I just missed the word. It happens to me like 5 times a week at least that they tell me they are from the bank or from UPS or from some place where I ordered some stuff. I don't want to say the name. And that they need some more information, and at the end I know all they want is some knowledge about my bank account. That's the reason why they do it. We all get this, and we have to be sure that we understand from where is what coming, because if we don't see it in time, it may cost us a lot of money. It happened once to me, and that was enough, that I got the information, oh, what you ordered is coming from the United States, and you have to pay taxes on it because of that. So send your taxes to this and this account. And then they started booking off taxes 10 times and even more. And I said, no, there's something wrong, so we have to stop that. But that's enough for me. I don't want this a second time to happen. And the same is true in the spiritual world. If you've ever been in the place where you believed the message that led you astray, you don't want that to happen again. So we want to make sure that we are doing, are willing to do the will of God so that we understand if the message that we hear or read is important in the eyes of God. Now, you may think this is mainly a message for pastors and preachers and teachers. That is not really true. It's also a question, how do you, every one of you, how do you present or reflect your faith in God? Are we presenting, are we reflecting our faith in God so that other people can see what's important in the eyes of God? Or do we do it the way that they think, oh, this is some human philosophy, human theology, this is just Wilfried's special topic, he is always talking about this. You know what I mean? We all have to present our faith in the right way to other people. And here I want to come back to the question of the emphasis. Jesus put his emphasis, especially when he was telling parables, he put his emphasis on showing a God who is a loving and forgiving Father. Are we showing to the world that we know a loving and forgiving Father? That you, just that you understand what I mean with forgiveness, let me construct an example. Let's say, I take you, Gib. Let's say we both are in a car accident, and just for this example, it's clear that you are the one who caused it. So now we have to exchange details of our insurance. Maybe we have to call the OPP, whatever. And we have to get things cleared. And then I can bring our car to the body shop. It can be repaired. Your insurance will pay for it. I may get a rental car for the time being. I will have my compensation, everything will be done. Do I have to forgive you? I would say no. For what? Because I'm compensated. I got justice. What can I ask more for? I don't have to forgive you. You don't have to beg me for forgiveness. I may have to beg you now for forgiveness to use you in this example. But you understand what I mean? If I get justice, if I get compensated, what's to be forgiven? But, and now I don't want to name anybody here, if any one of you would tell lies about me, if you would tell the people that I'm a drug dealer and that I belong into prison, or that I escaped from prison, or that I am beating my wife regularly, she will tell you that I'm not doing that. But if you tell something like this, find something that's not true about me and tell it to the people, and the day may come that you find out, hey, what I'm doing is not right, and you come to me, then I can forgive you. I can choose to love and forgive you, or I can choose to hate you and not forgive you. That's my choice then. But that's where forgiveness is necessary, because there is no compensation for it. You cannot get my reputation back in order once lies are out. God is a loving and forgiving Father. We cannot compensate him. We cannot pay him for what we as humans have done. All we can do is we can ask for his forgiveness, and then we will get it. That's the beauty of the message that Jesus was preaching all the time. God is a loving and forgiving Father, and all we have to do is we have to come to him and say, please forgive me, I've done something wrong. Are we presenting God like this to other people? It is my prayer that we are able to see and understand what's important in the eyes of God. And it is my prayer that we will reflect, that we will present our faith in God the Father as a Father who is loving and forgiving when we come to him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you're a loving and forgiving one, and we come to you and we ask that you will forgive us, that we can have the eternal life that Jesus was preparing for us and dying for, that we can live with you and that we can experience your love even more and more. Lord, and let us just show this to the people we are talking to, we are dealing with, that they see and that they understand. We believe in you. We believe in you as a loving Father. Lord, bless this church and bless us that we may understand what's important in your eyes, and that we can see it, and that we don't fall into any trap that others will build for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.